Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I'll be reviewing 1993's Who's the Man? Alright guys, welcome to the show. I will be talking about Who's the Man from 1993, but first off, let's talk about the things I've watched this week. Two things I watched this week. I watched Coming to America. We got to do the emphasis on the two. And I watched the WandaVision finale. Let's talk about Coming to America first. I was able to watch Coming to America because my wife has an Amazon subscription because I bought her a Kindle. So that was the reason I was able to watch Coming to America. But let's talk about this movie. And let's talk about like the controversy with this movie. That's what I really want to get into, because I'm really not gonna get into the movie that much, because a movie's a movie, you know. And like, I'm not really like doing a review. Let's just talk about like the controversy behind this movie. There were a lot of people online, and like I've seen people on Facebook, I've seen reviewers on YouTube. Like, they're really split 50-50 on this movie. This movie is just as polarizing as Wonder Woman 1984 was. Because it's not like the original movie. If you come into Coming to America thinking you're gonna see the movie from 1988, you're sadly mistaken. You know, and I think that's what a lot of people thought. I think that was the people that are complaining about this movie. I think that's what they thought. They thought they were going to come in. They thought they were going to see what happened in 1988 and just like rehashed. And that's not what you got. That's not what you got. And I think people got to understand the sensitive times that we're living in. A lot of the shit that they did Coming to America in 1988, they can't do now. They can't do it. That's why there was a tinge of feminism in here. There was a tinge of girl power in this movie. There was a tinge of, because even like the barber that Eddie Murphy plays, he had like a joke about his grandson becoming a granddaughter or something like that. He was like, because like he was saying, pretty much saying that he has a transgender grandchild. You know, there was a joke about it. They made a little joke about it. I thought it was funny, but yeah, there's a lot of things you can't do in Coming to America now that you could do then. You know, like, it's a different time. I know it sucks, but you know, I know we got to change with the times, man. Because I think even Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall were talking about, there are a lot of jokes that were raunchy that they couldn't do because of the time frame. You know, because of like the certain time that they're in. It was like they had to change a lot of this. A lot of jokes that they had to change because they were kind of like, it was kind of like backwards thinking. It was kind of like old school thinking, you know, because like these are two guys in like their fucking 60s, you know, like, you know, Arsenio Hall is 65 years old and Eddie Murphy is about to be 60, I believe. I think he's gonna be turning 60 this year or something, you know. So, but basically, these are two guys in their fucking 60s, you know, and they're gonna think in an old timey fashion, you know, like, I don't know how else to say it, but they're gonna think like that. And so, like, they had to have a guy like a Kenya Barris come in. And because Kenya Barris helped write the script. They had to have a guy like Kenya Barris come in and have like that new millennium feel, because he's like in his 40s or something, I believe. So like he's kind of in tune and in depth with younger society and what's going on, especially being in Hollywood. You know, he's very in tune and in depth to that. So they had to do that. They had to put like the tinge of feminism in there. There were some other things in here. They had to give Leslie Jones. They had to give Leslie Jones a royal bather. You know, they couldn't have the female royal. They mentioned the female royal bathers. They showed the female royal bathers, but they did not show them bathing anybody. You know, they just alluded that they bathed people. You know, so like they can't do that anymore. You know, you can't just show a woman butt naked cleaning a man. You can't do that shit no more. It is kind of a double standard that you can show a man half butt naked doing what he was doing to Leslie Jones though. But you know, it's kind of ass backwards to me. You know, it's kind of a double standard, but hey, we live in a world of fucking double standards. Like, the fucking world has flipped on its end. Blame your grandpa, you know, for smacking his wife, you know, or whatever the fuck. I don't know, but you know, blame him, you know, for putting a foot up a woman's ass. I guess now they're coming back with a vengeance and they want to give us a taste of our own medicine. You know, they want to grab us by the balls or whatever the fuck. But yeah, man, like, there's just a lot of shit in it. There's just a lot of shit that they can't do. But I thought the movie was okay. You know, if you got hang-ups about it not being like the first one, or they didn't do what they did in the first one, if you got hang-ups about that, then that's on you. I didn't walk into this movie expecting for it to be better than the original. I knew it was going to be a lesser version of the original, but I still enjoyed it. There are still some enjoyable parts. Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall downplay themselves. They pretty much let everybody else go. Jermaine Fowler, who plays the bastard son of Akeem, I didn't think he was that bad. He's kind of Kevin Hartish. He's kind of Kevin Hartish. The first movie I saw him in was Sorry to Bother You, which I love that movie. I love Sorry to Bother You. It's one of my favorite movies. It turned into like one of my favorite movies of all time. It's like one of my favorite movies of the last decade to me. That and Blind Spotting, like two movies that I thoroughly enjoyed from the last decade. But yeah, when I saw Jermaine Fowler in Sorry to Bother You, I was kind of thinking that too. I'm like, he's kind of Kevin Hardy, you know, like he's very Kevin Hartish, I guess you could say. He's very Kevin Hartish, cause he's even fast talk like him, you know. He's like, you know, me and my mom, you know, like, we live up here in Queens, and like, he does that shit. He's like, hey, you want me to go get what? From who? Huh? What? Come on, man. You know, like, he does that, like, kind of, like, fast-talking type of shit that Kevin Hart does. But, you know, like, he was serviceable. He was a good, he played a good lead. He kind of looks like Eddie. They did the sketch, and they kind of made him look like Eddie. When it was showing, like, you have a son in Queens, and like they showed the picture, and it kind of looked like Eddie when he was young and shit, you know. I'm like, he had a resemblance to him, but I'm not saying that he looks like Eddie Murphy, but he had a resemblance. But so like they made him look enough like his son, you know, to do that. But yeah, man, I thought he was okay. I hate to say it, but fuck, Leslie Jones stole the goddamn movie. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people think she's annoying. Even people were talking about, oh my god, she's so loud and she's so annoying. And that's your problem. I thought she was funny as fuck in this movie. I was like, I thought she was fucking hilarious. Her and Tracy Morgan. And I love the back and forth that Tracy Morgan has with Arsenio Hall's character, Semi. Like, they have a back and forth. That's the funniest Arsenio is, when him and Tracy play off of each other. Those couple of times that they play off of each other, that's the funniest Arsenio Hall is in this movie. a lot of the time he's just sleepwalking through this movie. He's just him and Eddie as Akeem. Eddie Murphy's Akeem is not the same Akeem that you saw in the first movie. He's very, very downplayed. You know, he's not, "Oh, hi, how are you? I am Akeem." You know, he's not like that. He's just very, "Well, I'm going back to America to go get my son." You know, and I guess because he's trying to play the character a little bit more downplayed, a little bit more regal, a little bit more serious, because he is the king now. You know, he is the king. And so, like, I guess he can't be just naive, dude, because you got to understand how young he was when he first came to America. He was young and naive. Now he's older and he's more experienced. So I guess that's why he had to play him like that. But he's very much in the background. This is really Jermaine Fowler's movie. He's the breakout in this movie. I kind of do want to see more of him. You know, he's, like I said, he's kind of Kevin Hart-ish. And that's probably what Hollywood's looking for. Who knows? I don't fucking know. But yeah, man, I was like, the standouts to me were Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, and Wesley Snipes. I can't forget about Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes was fucking crazy in this movie. He was batshit insane in this movie. But yeah, other than that, it was a middle of the road movie to me, man. I was like, I didn't expect it to be better than the original. I expected to be akin to the original, like on a serviceable plateau with the original. It's an all right movie, you know. Like, will I watch it again? Am I clamoring to go watch it again? No. You know, if I got nothing else to do and I see it pop up, I'll watch it, maybe. But, you know, but it's not in my favorite movies of the 2020s. It's not gonna be in that list. If I ever do a list like that, it's not going to be like something that we go back to like the original. It's just not. But yeah, if I had to give it a score, I'd give it a 3 out of 5. It's passable. It's fucking passable. Let's talk about WandaVision now. We had that WandaVision finale, and I'm just gonna cut to the fucking chase. We saw like the Agatha shit, Agatha Harkness. That's basically what this finale was. This finale was the ending of a Marvel movie. It was like the last 20 minutes of a Marvel movie, because it was just fight, 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 fight. this episode had the most fucking action in it out of every episode. This was the one that had the most fucking action in it. It was just fight, 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 fight. It was like Agatha Harkness and Wanda Maximoff just fighting in the air, doing magic shit. Vision fought White Vision. You know, they were flying through the air doing android shit. Even the kids got involved. Monica Rambeau got involved a little bit. Not as much. But they're saving her for later. They're saving her for something else, if you get my drift. So I'm kind of glad they didn't just give her away on fucking Disney Plus, you know? Because I can't wait to see what Monica Rambeau does. I can't wait. But yeah, man, this finale was, I thought it was good. You know, it was a good finale. Like I said, it felt like the last 20 minutes of a Marvel movie, where like everything came together and it was like, hey, let's have a final battle. I just want to get into some things. When they revealed that Quicksilver, the fake Quicksilver, was Ralph, and he wasn't Mephisto, I laughed my fucking ass off. His name is Ralph. His name is Ralph Boner. Motherfucker's name is Ralph Boner. He's just an actor. It's not even Evan Peters. They just said like he was an actor named Ralph Boner. And it was kind of, I was like, yo, man, they just shitted on that Fox X-Men universe. They just shitted on the Fox X-Men universe like a motherfucker. And I'm laughing at it because I hate that shit. I hate the Fox X-Men. I hate it to fucking death. Because, like, there's only, like, maybe 2.5 good movies in that whole fucking franchise. X-Men 2 is decent, and the part of Logan that I saw was alright, you know, like, you know, like, Logan is okay. I know I'm people like, oh my god, Logan is the best comic book movie ever. No, it's not. No, the fuck is not. Yeah, you know, I guess Deadpool will be a part of that universe now, but now it's in the MCU, so like, do I count Deadpool? Because Deadpool 2 wasn't even all that to me. But I guess I count Deadpool. And I love Deadpool. Deadpool is one of my favorite fucking characters. I'm not shitting on Deadpool, you know? But I was like, I loved Wolverine before they started shoving him down my fucking throat. But, you know. But yeah, man. It's just, I hate the Fox X-Men universe to fucking death. Because that's all they did. They shoved Wolverine, Magneto, and Professor X down your motherfucking throat. And even Mystique for a little. I would say Mystique too. Mystique is kind of like, they shoved her down your throat a bit too. And like, they never focused on any other fucking characters. There was no focus on Cyclops. They gave like one movie a focus to Jean Grey, and they kind of gave focus to Jean Grey because they were trying to see if she was gonna fuck Wolverine, you know. You know, they didn't give Storm anything to do. They didn't give any of the other characters anything to do. They had that shitty Colossus. Remember that guy that started playing Colossus in X-Men 2 on down, and then they figured out, yo man, this dude kind of fucking sucks. And then Deadpool brung you the new Colossus. I was like, yeah, that's the real fucking Colossus right there. That's my Colossus. Yeah, like they had that shitty Colossus. Like they didn't focus on any fucking body else. It was like they didn't focus on Gambit. They made Rogue just this fucking emo ass fucking teenager. You know, I fucking hate it. I was just saying, I'm like, I fucking hate the Fox X-Men. I'm glad that Kevin Feige and the MCU shitted on that shit by giving us a fake Quicksilver from the goddamn Fox universe and said, yeah, he's a phony. You know, they're like, he's a phony. Get that fucking Fox shit the fuck out of here. It's basically what the fuck they did, and I love them for it. And I can't, I'm so like, that shit gets me even more hype to see what the fuck they're gonna do with the X-Men. Because if they're doing this to the Fox X-Men, I know their X-Men are gonna be completely different. You know, they're gonna be completely different, and I hope it's a good different. Because the way they shitted on the Fox X-Men with this shit, I was like, they better do something incredible with the X-Men, you know? Because y'all put a foot in Fox's ass with that. But yeah, man, I laughed my goddamn ass off. And I laughed when he wasn't Mephisto, too. I was like, he's not Mephisto. You motherfuckers. Because everybody thought, oh god, Ralph's Mephisto. Oh my god, Quicksilver, the new Quicksilver, he's Mephisto in disguise. It was like, let me just get to all this shit. Because, like, there were no fucking, like, cameos from big characters or anything like that. Let's get that through. We got Wanda fighting Agatha. She beats Agatha. She lets everybody go from Westview. She gets her Scarlet Witch costume. White Vision, fake Vision gets the White Vision and kind of like unbrainwashes him. We don't know where that White Vision went. We'll find him later on in the MCU somewhere. Hayward went to prison. What else the fuck happened in that finale? Of course, Wanda had to get rid of she had to get rid of the force field, the bubble. She had to get rid of the bubble. Fake Vision and the fake kids went away, you know. And fucking Wanda went to a fucking cabin and she took the Darkhold with her. And now she's studying the Darkhold, looks like. That was it. And Monica Rambeau's going to space. She's going up to space with Nick Fury and possibly Captain Marvel. So, because a Skrull shows up at the end and tells Monica, hey, they need you up there. So, space, sword. I'm guessing that they're putting together a new team of Avengers. Where the Avengers is going, I think I'm gonna like it. Because it looks like they're going to be dealing with more space threats. They're going to be dealing with more intergalactic threats. Because I think Thanos put them on watch about that shit. That there's more shit out there than what is on Earth. Because the first... I would even think Loki put them on watch with that. But because like that was the first time they ever seen aliens. And they're like, what the fuck? Aliens? What the fuck? But, you know... but, yeah, but, like, in the second one, they fought Ultron, you know, like, he's Earth-based, but Thanos was the biggest put on notice. They was like, yeah, we gotta deal with this space shit, you know? So, Nick Fury was like, nah, we ain't gonna let this shit happen again. We gotta patrol space now. So, I guess he's putting together a new Avengers team that's gonna deal with, like, intergalactic threats, I guess. That's gonna be the new thing. Very optimistic about what's gonna happen with that. Very optimistic. But yeah, man, I was laughing my fucking ass off when none of those like predictions happened. Even my predictions, I think I said like maybe Blue Marvel's gonna show up. Blue Marvel didn't show up. I'm not mad about it. There's people that are actually fucking mad about this shit. They're like, oh man, we didn't get Mephisto. We didn't get Reed Richards. We didn't get the X-Men. What's going on? Like, well, Doctor Strange didn't show up to help Wanda fight Agatha and all this shit. And he didn't tell her to come with him and all this other bullshit, you know? Those people are actually mad at that. But I laugh my fucking ass off at that shit. I laugh my goddamn ass off at it. But... overall, WandaVision was a good show to me. Overall, WandaVision was a good-ass show. There was, like, I think the last episode kind of dragged a little bit. I think episode 2 dragged a little bit. But for the most part, I enjoyed that show. I enjoyed the hell out of it. So, we're going to get, like, what, a two-week break? A two-week break until Falcon and Winter Soldier? Come on, Disney Plus, and then I'm going to start talking about that shit. So you get 2 weeks of me not talking about Marvel for people that don't like Marvel and want to watch this show. So you get 2 weeks of that, but that's it, man. I'll be back with my review of Who's the Man after these messages. Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. Alright guys, welcome back to the show. Who's the Man, 1993. Let's talk about it. First of all, you know how I like to start it off. I like to talk about how I saw the movie. Really interesting story about this one. Because I remember annoying the shit out of my dad to let me go see this movie, but he would not take me to go see the movie. I remember. First of all, my dad was not a huge rap fan. You know, like he was not a fan of rap music at all. He was funk, R&B, and some rock music. You know, pop and like pop music. You know, like he was not a rap guy at all. You know, I mean, like I would listen to like Jay-Z, but and my dad. I remember having a conversation with my dad. When Hard Knock Life was like big. I think this is like around like the time when like Hard Knock Life was big. And Hard Knock Life came on the radio. I want to say like my dad was like picking me up from school or some shit. And I think like Hard Knock Life was on the radio or some shit. And like it like crossed over to like the pop stations or some shit. And like Hard Knock Life was like on pop radio, and my dad was, I remember my dad saying, "Oh yeah, I like Jay-Z." He was like, "I like Jay-Z and his nice clean raps. He's a clean rapper." And I was like, "Oh boy, only if you knew." You know, I was like, "Jay-Z's not a clean rapper at all. He talks about selling crack, Dad." A lot, but but yeah, man, I would kind of listen to rap behind my dad's back, really. Like hip-hop was my thing, you know. Like that was the thing I solely got for myself. But I did not really listen to rap in front of my dad, you know, like, cause he was not a rap guy. But that was the first reason why I couldn't go see Who's the Man, cause my dad's not a huge fan of rap music. And secondly, I think the only place that Who's the Man was showing was at the Joy Theater, and if you value your life, you don't go to the Joy Theater. You know, it was like, cause motherfuckers get shot at the Joy Theater. So there was no way I was going to the Joy Theater. Like, my dad was like, "Fuck no." We are not going there. So I finally saw it like years later on cable. That's how I saw the movie. I think I saw it on like TNT or TBS or some shit. Or, you know. And even then, it was like a watered down version of the movie, you know. So it was like, "You get your mother freaking A over here," you know, or some shit. You know how they do that? You know how they fucking dub curse words over and shit. It was like, I saw that version of Who's the Man first, and then I think I saw it like on like Cinemax or some shit, and I saw the real one, and I thought it was alright. I think I saw it when I was like 11. I think the first time I saw it when I was 11, I was like, yeah, it's okay. But anyway, yeah, that's how I saw Who's the Man. First time I saw it, like, was like years later at like 11 on cable. Let's get into technical shit with this. First of all, the movie was directed by Ted Demme, who was the mastermind behind Yo MTV Raps, which is why this movie looks the way it looks. I'll get into that later. The screenplay was written by Seth Greenland. I didn't think to look up Seth Greenland and see what else he did, so Seth Greenland. The movie has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 50%, which I think is way too high for a movie like this. I'm like, dude, how did Boomerang get like a 40? I think Boomerang got like a 40. Like something in the 40s, and Who's the Man got a 50. I'm like, Boomerang is a way better movie than Who's the Man. But I couldn't find how much this movie cost. I couldn't find the budget for this movie anywhere. I went looking. I went on like Box Office Mojo. I went on Wikipedia. I tried to Google it to see where else I could find how much this movie cost, but I couldn't find it. I found the Box Office gross on Box Office Mojo. The movie grossed $11 million. It only grossed $11 million, but it was only showing like 900 screens, you know. So they really didn't give this movie a fucking chance, to be honest, you know. But let's get into the plot. The movie stars Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, who are the host of Yo MTV Raps, as two bumbling barbers who get talked into joining the police force by their boss. When their boss gets murdered, they decide to take the law into their own hands. They want to go and find this killer. Like I said, this movie is basically Yo MTV Raps the movie. That's basically what it is. You got the host of Yo MTV Raps. You got like the creator of Yo MTV Raps as the director, Ted Demme. And if that name sounds familiar, he also directed Blow with Johnny Depp and Penelope Cruz. He also died from Blow. so he had a lot of experience with Blow. But you know, so you got that. But yeah, like I said, this is basically Yo MTV Raps the movie. In 1993, rap wasn't as big as it is now. You know, like it was still kind of like an underground thing. You know, it was like black people liked it and white people who wanted to be on the fringe, you might say, liked it. You're like, you were on the fringe. You were like alternative if you're a white person who like hip hop music. But yeah, like I said, like it wasn't as big as it is now, and I feel like that's the purpose of this movie was like to. The purpose of this movie was to like bring rap into the mainstream, you know. Like this movie was trying to bring rap to the forefront, but it did that so much that it sacrificed the storyline. You know, like there's supposed to be a plot, because there's a plot of, like I said, A11 and Dr. Dre become cops. The boss, I think the boss, doesn't want to sell his barbershop. And he gets murdered because he doesn't want to sell his barbershop, because there's a guy named Demetrius who's trying to like gentrify Harlem. Is it Harlem? He's trying to gentrify Harlem. I think they succeeded with that, but I don't know. I think they did succeed with gentrifying Harlem. But anyway, yeah, they're trying to gentrify Harlem and he won't sell. Their boss won't sell his barbershop, so he gets murdered and the barbershop gets blown up. And so that's when Dr. Dre and Ed Lover want to go find the boss's killer, but they sacrifice so much storyline, cause like there's so much other shit that gets thrown in here, you know. Cause like I'm like, this movie's all over the place, cause it's just like rap cameo after rap cameo after rap cameo, and it's just like, it's just so fucking unnatural. Some of the rappers act unnatural, especially Run DMC, because like Run DMC are in here as like detectives, and they're fucking terrible. They're terrible fucking actors. Oh god, I was like, fuck. I see why, because like you could kind of tell, like, a lot of these rappers were like, oh, shit, we get to be in a movie? And they was like, this could be my big break to cross over or some shit like that, you know? Because Ice Cube had done it a couple years before with Boys in the Hood. And they were like, shit, if Ice Cube could do it, I could do it. Tupac was doing it, you know, like. And they were like, if Tupac and Ice Cube could do it, and then Ice-T's in this movie, and Ice-T had done it also too. So like, there were a lot of rappers looking to cross over into acting, you know. So like, I guess they thought this was their big break, but a lot of them can't fucking act, you know. a lot of these rappers can't fucking act. They're terrible. I mean, like, some of them can. Like I said, the best one was Ice-T, but that was because he was already in a fucking movie before, you know? He was already in a movie, and, like, he's got a little bit of experience. I mean, like, you go back and look at New Jack City, he's not the best actor in that. He's not the best, but he's compared to all the other rappers in this movie, he's fucking Laurence Olivier. You know, he's fucking Robert De Niro. You know, he's the best actor alive in this movie. Like I said, Ice-T's the best one in this movie. They try to give Salt from Salt and Pepper a lead role. They try to give her something to do, and she's fucking horrible. She's terrible. You know, like, every, like, she delivers lines like she's reading them. You're like, she's like, it's like they gave her cue cards, and you kind of see her, like you can kind of see her eye, like, kind of looking over too, and she's just like, yeah, why would you do this? You're ruining my show, you know, because she's supposed to be like a fashion designer or some shit. She's like, I wouldn't talk to him if I thought he was dirty or some shit, you know. You guys are ruining my business. You know, I was like, she's fucking terrible. God. I'm looking at my notes right now. I'm sorry. Dennis Leary's in this movie. Dennis Leary's fucking annoying. He's fucking annoying. There was a part in here that did make me laugh because he's so fucking annoying. Because my wife was watching a little bit of this movie with me. And there was a part where, like, he started stuttering, and that was kind of funny. But for the most part, he's fucking annoying. He's just, it's just him getting in Dr. Dre's face, talking about why he calls himself Dr. Dre. You know, why do you call yourself Dr. Dre? Are you a doctor? Do you have a PhD? Or, you know, all this shit. You know, like, it gets old, it gets annoying. Like, they try to make it a running joke, and it just falls flat. It fell flat the first fucking time. It's not gonna work a second fucking time, or third, or a fourth. You know, so, like, just give it the fuck up. Give up the joke. It's not working. As one positive thing I gotta say about this movie, like, Dr. Dre and Ed Lover are charismatic. They're charismatic as fuck. Like, they got charisma oozing out of their fucking buttholes. But it's not enough. It's just not enough. You know, it's just not enough. That's all I got to say. There's nothing more I can fucking say about this movie, man. Like I said, like, sacrifice the storyline for just fucking rapper cameos. And just Dennis Leary's fucking annoying. Salt is a horrible actress. And Dr. Dre and Ed Lover are the best parts of this movie. And, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, like, Dr. Dre is not the Dr. Dre you're talking about, because there's a lot of people that probably haven't seen Who's the Man. They're like, Dr. Dre was in a movie? It's not that Dr. Dre. It's not the chronic Dr. Dre. Okay, it's not that Dr. Dre. It's Dr. Dre the DJ. That's it. But other than that, like I said, not that good of a movie. I'm sorry. Like, it's downright fucking terrible. I'm sorry. I try to be nice, but it's downright fucking terrible. If you want to see a better movie that use hip-hop cameos in it, go watch Juice. Go watch fucking Juice, because they got Queen Latifah in there. Tupac's the lead. He's great. You got Tretch in there. You got EPMD in there. You know, like I said, Juice is a much better movie when it comes to hip-hop cameos. A much better fucking movie. Like I said, and it's one of my favorite movies. I think that might be a running joke on this podcast that Juice is one of my favorite movies of all fucking time. You know, I love fucking Juice. I gotta get around to fucking reviewing Juice. I might even bump something off my list for this year to review Juice, because Juice is just too special. I just want to save it, you know? Like, I just want to fucking save it, because Juice is too fucking special to me. It's too fucking close to my heart. I love that fucking movie. But anyway, yeah. Juice is a better fucking hip-hop movie than this. I give it a 1 out of 5. That's my score. Join me next week when I review 1995's Mallrats. See you guys later. Peace.